Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's first quarter earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. We have a brief safe harbor, and we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements in this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I'd like to turn the call over to Gary Atkinson, CEO of the Singing Machine Company.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gary Atkinson. I'm the CEO of the Singing Machine Company. I'd like to thank all of you this morning for taking the time to listen in on the results of our first quarter earnings. I'm also joined with me today by Lionel Marquis, our CFO, who will be walking through some of the first quarter numbers. And I also have Bernardo Mello, our VP of Sales and Marketing, who can give us a little bit of an update in terms of where we are on sales. Before I kick it over to Lionel, I just want to say, despite the numbers that we posted this morning for the first quarter earnings, we still remain very, very optimistic and very pleased with the results, and especially the work that we've done during the first quarter that it wasn't necessarily reflected in those numbers. But we think we accomplished a lot of good in the first quarter. We set up a lot of things that will take place in the second quarter, in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter of this year. So we still remain very optimistic and very happy with where we are. And I think we'll hear some more of that as the call goes on. But with that being said, I want to turn it over to Lionel, who can just do a run through from some of the numbers, and then we'll kick it over to Bernardo.
Morning, everybody. Just wanted to go through the numbers. It's relatively a brief summary of everything because the first quarter is generally a slow quarter for us, obviously. Second and third quarters are our major business. But all that having been said, we had a decrease in net sales of approximately $900,000, went from approximately $4.8 million down to $3.9 million. This is pretty much strictly a timing issue. We have one of our major customers last year who started taking their Black Friday products earlier. They started taking them in June, and this year they've moved that out a little bit. So consequently, this is strictly a timing thing, but it is the major contributor as to why we were off. We did have the pickup on that, the positive news on that side is both our Canadian rep and our UK distributor, as well as Amazon, were all pickups. We increased business with those folks, and we believe that is a positive and that we're not going to lose that during the year. Consequently, Walmart will ship out the rest of the Black Friday stuff will ship out in the second and third quarter, and we expect things to normalize in the next quarter and over the year. Gross profit margin, we did 27.4% versus 23.5% in the prior year. Again, the absence of the Black Friday units, which yield a lot lower margin than the Amazon or Canadian distributors, UK distributor stuff, that mix of product out there explains the increase in the gross profit and the gross profit margin. Our selling expenses went from $425,000 to $464,000. Again, you're going to hear the Walmart stuff come up a lot, but the Black Friday pieces come with no co-op. They're sold without any programs, without any selling programs. So consequently, our increases in other areas that do carry programs would be the reason for the selling expenses to go up. But that will normalize over the next quarters, and we expect again to see normalized percentage of sales as far as selling expenses are concerned. Our G&A expenses were up approximately $113,000, and it's primarily due to some additional payroll that we put on for the not only our growth, but our anticipated growth as well. So all that led to a loss from operations of $787,000 versus $572,000 last year. It's not indicative of the year. We're certainly not concerned. We still project a fairly good growth year, fairly strong growth year. Looking at the balance sheet, just some highlights. Our accounts receivable was down by approximately $700,000. Again, that's the Black Friday pieces not being in the mix, that they went out in June last year and they're going out in this coming quarter. Inventory was approximately $8,662,000 versus $8,368,000. Given the expectations of sales for fiscal year 18, we consider those inventory levels to be adequate and appropriate. And accounts payable, that decreased from $6,327,000 to $4,452,000. This had a lot to do with inventory that was in transit for the year. Related party debt, we took it down. The related party debt we took down by approximately $2.5 million from last year to this year. It's a reflection of our increased cash flow from the results from operations, as well as the new financing arrangement that we have with PNC, which we renewed this past quarter. That came with a bank term note of $1 million, and those proceeds were earmarked to pay down the related party debt. So again, as plans go right now, we still anticipate on being totally debt-free between the bank term note and the related party debt within the next 18 months approximately at this point. That's pretty much the highlights that I have for this quarter.
All right, thank you, Lionel. At this point, I'm going to turn the call over to Bernardo Mello, who can give us a bit of an update in terms of some of the successes we're seeing at retail and some of the things that he's been working on for this fiscal year.
Hello. Hope everyone is well. Yeah, let me delve in a little bit more into the sales aspect of it, because there is some real positive news there that may not be immediately reflected with the numbers, but just cover over a couple of the customers. Amazon continues to do extremely well for us. We are now at running a 44% year-over-year in sales in terms of dollars, and close to 57% increase in sales in terms of units. So Amazon has continued to take off, as everyone knows, the consumer behavior is shifting online. With that being said, still Walmart is very strong out the gate for us, averaging about anywhere between 20 to 25% increase from last year, year over year in sales. Our accessories and our items are doing extremely well there. The timing issue is largely due because we are implementing a couple of new SKUs into Walmart. Our promotional item is going to be a brand new item, so it had to go through retesting and some of those things, and some of those sales moved from Q1 to Q2. Also, the inline item is also going to be a brand new SKU with more features than our previous item, but still maintaining the same MSRP at the stores, which we think are going to be extremely positive. The one retailer that's struggling a little bit is Toys R Us. Their year over year they're negative comping from last year. We've anticipated that slowdown, so we've started to allocate inventory and resources to grow on other customers that are showing positive growth. Doesn't mean that we're giving up on Toys R Us. I mean, they're still our second largest customer and still have a breadth of our product line. They are introducing the kids line, which couldn't really hit the springtime because of some inventory delays, but it is going to hit early fall, late summer, early fall. So we're excited there. We have about 5 SKUs under the kids line that are going to be at Toys R Us, helping us launch what we think is going to be an exciting lineup for us. Also, the clubs are right in line to begin setting now right in October. So if you're by a club, whether it's Sam's Club or Costco, feel free to go by. They're featuring some of our real cool SKUs. So we're looking forward to beginning sales in the clubs there. Internationally has taken off. A popular toy chain by the name of Smith's out of the UK has really expanded our footprint at their retail locations. We expanded from about just 1 foot of space. This year we're going to about 4 to 5 feet of space, and all represented under the brand Singing Machine. That along with some other SKUs is going to help us grow our international business this year 100% full. So we're really looking forward to what's going on in our European business. So other than that, we landed Best Buy in two sections of the store. We got a permanent section in the audio section, which for us is really exciting. And our item got also chosen for a check lane, which is, you know, when people are checking out of their lane, one item is going to be featured there in about 400 stores. So this is also going to start in time for the holidays. It kind of rounds up the last of the major big box retailers that we had pursuing. So with the addition of Best Buy now and the ability to work with them closely in developing new SKUs and new technology and their appetite for higher ASP items, we think that, you know, it's real positive news for us, not just for this year, but also for the long haul as well. Without saying much forward-looking stuff, you know, I think that sort of explains. Lastly, also, one thing that we did manage well this year was what we called our end-of-life SKUs. We were not real heavy on them coming out of the fourth quarter, the calendar year fourth quarter. So we didn't have to close out. We didn't have to liquidate any items. And I think that reflects that in the margins. And a lot of the inventory that we have is still inventory that's going forward and going to maintain our regular margins. So I wanted to also clarify that as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Bernardo. And I just want to close up. I want to make sure we save some time for questions at the end, but just to sort of piggyback a little bit on what Lionel and Bernardo said and with some final thoughts. Again, the slight decline in revenue for the first quarter, again, is purely a timing issue. We still remain very, very confident in terms of the outlook for the full fiscal year. We've done a lot of hard work, a lot of good work in the first quarter that, like I said earlier, is not necessarily reflecting in the first quarter numbers, but I think they will reflect later in this fiscal year. Obviously, the addition of Best Buy is huge for us. You know, now we are in every single major big box retailer in North America, and that's a very, very positive for this company that's based very, very heavily on distribution. So we're excited about that. We're setting our sights internationally now, which again, we've done a lot of work on here in the first quarter that just ended. We've also done a lot of work with some partnership deals that should be ready to be announced very soon, that I think will make a significant impact on the next few years for this company. So I definitely want the takeaway from this first quarter not to be seen as negative. I think a lot of good work was done. We feel very confident that this year will continue to be a growth year for the company. It just unfortunately wasn't necessarily reflected in those first quarter numbers, but again, we feel confident that they will in the remaining three quarters to come. So with that being said, I want to make sure there's time for questions. So let's turn it over for any questions out there.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw a question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Tomer Cohen from Five Roads Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning, Tomer.
My first question has to do with attachment rates on the app. I know in the past you've gotten questions about attachment rates on the downloads. I'm just curious if you can share anything in terms of how, you know, what percent of buyers of the devices end up downloading the app, and then what percent of those end up spending money on the app.
Sure. So we're not sharing the specific attachment rates on that information just yet, but what I can say is that we're very pleased with what we've been seeing in terms of the attachment rates as it relates to the mobile app to machines. And that was an area where we were caught a little bit off guard this past holiday season. We actually saw a big shift in the way people are consuming their music. We had seen very, very heavy on the downloads. And this past Christmas season, we saw that shift starting to happen where people were moving more to the mobile streaming. And that really showed up in a big way. These last few months, we're seeing it. We're still seeing it even now in the traditionally quieter summer months. We're still seeing heavy usage of the app, while at the same time still keeping up really, really positive numbers on the download store. I mean, the download store, we're still seeing an ARPU well north of 23 per paying user. Mobile app side, obviously the ARPU is going to be smaller because we're dealing with a smaller figure for the subscription, but we're seeing people who download the app and become a paying customer, they're sticking around for, on average, 3 to 4 months, staying on as paying customers. So that again, we're pleased with. So unfortunately, I can't share the attachment rates with you, but, as the numbers start to grow and we continue to grow and mature the mobile downloads, and it becomes a more significant portion of the overall revenue, we'll start segmenting it out and we'll start reporting all of those details.
That's helpful. Thanks. And then as far as Best Buy is concerned, I know there was a competitor who was in there, and I'm just curious, are you replacing them or are you going to be side-by-side with them? And if you're side-by-side, maybe you could tell me a little bit about how much shelf space you have versus how much they'll have.
From our understanding, we are replacing them.
Oh, great. Okay. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you know what caused Best Buy to be willing to replace them with you?
Yes. I mean, I could only give you as educated an answer as I think, knowing the situation. We support the category on a year-round basis, both from a domestic and a direct import standpoint. So I think they saw not only the brand, so it has to do with a couple things. Number one, our brand online, without having the presence of a store to help drive traffic, really took off in the last couple of years. We grew it from, about 100,000 year one, to now close to 500,000 online with very minimal promotion, just based on, brand and our assortment online. So that, the person that manages that is always also the person that helps influence some of the store decisions. So that had a positive impact. And number two, our ability to support them from, like I said, from a direct import and a domestic standpoint, do stock balances, give them a breadth of an assortment that covers a wide range of price points. And also, I think the ability to, in the future, bring some higher tech, innovative product to them. I think all that combination led to them finally giving us the shelf space and dedicating it to Singing Machine.
That helps. And then a quick question about online sales. You said you're selling about 500,000 machines per year online today.
No, that was $500,000 in sales at BestBuy.com.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, we just started with them a couple of years ago. We do what they're called SDF, which is We drop ship for the order generates from BestBuy.com, but we drop ship it. And from what we've been told in our understanding, we are one of the largest SDF vendors on BestBuy.com as of now. So it's something that they've looked at and they've given us a lot of kudos for executing.
That makes sense. Okay. And then a few quick questions about the club channel.
Sure.
I'm curious if you can tell me roughly how many units are you expecting to sell there or revenue estimates for the club channels?
Let's just say, two of the three clubs are going to carry two SKUs this year. Normally they've been, one SKU account, but they're going to carry, two of the three clubs are carrying two SKUs, an entry level price point and a higher level price point, so covering both sides. They're both, they've taken a good position on it. And we've also increased our club business internationally as well through PriceSmart and Northwest Companies, which is Cost You Less. So we are in every, in every major club chain now with good distribution without saying the number.
I see. Okay. Understand. And can you give me any sense in terms of whether or not the clubs will be selling it in all of their clubs or just a limited number of clubs nationally?
Full club distribution.
Okay. All right.
I think from Costco, I think we're just missing about 15 clubs in the Bay Area around there, and that was just a timing issue. But we're pretty much in all clubs there, Sam's Club all clubs and BJ's all clubs.
Okay, that's great. Great. Well, I understand the numbers are what they are, but you're gearing up for a great year, and hopefully we'll see those results in the next few quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tomer.
And our next question comes from Sam Rabutsky from SER Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen. Was the shipments that would have been in the first quarter that's postponed for the second quarter, have they already been made, and could you quantify the dollar amount or a range of what you expect to ship in the second quarter from the first quarter?
I mean, that portion that did not, which was a timing issue, was approximately $1.3 million. And that's all going to go in the second quarter.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. And the Stingray relationship, how is that coming along, and what kind of revenue do you expect to produce or have you produced in this current quarter and going forward?
The Stingray relationship remains very, very positive. I mean, they're excited on their side with the growth that we've been seeing on the digital karaoke music front, as are we, especially now that we're doing the downloads. Now we have the mobile streaming app. We have some future development projects that we're working on now that we're expecting to come out with for next year. So we're seeing this business is still really in the infancy of where we expect it to be over the next, over the next few years. I mean, if you think out the next 2 to 3 years, how many people are still going to be buying CDGs for their karaoke machines? I think that number is going to continue to get less and less and less. And, we're the only ones that are continuing to invest in this type of technology for the home karaoke market. So, we're excited. Stingray is excited. The growth is still very, very, very positive. Even now in, the traditional slow sort of first quarter in the summer months, we're still seeing excellent ARPU numbers, still seeing good steady growth across all the platforms. And we have some exciting other developments which we'll be announcing fairly soon in terms of how we expect to expand the mobile streaming portion of the business. So I hope that answers your question, Sam.
Yeah. And as far as the new products that you're working on, do you expect, could you sort of quantify what kind of revenue you think you might create in this fiscal year from new products?
You know, we have internal forecasts for what we think we can generate in terms of the music subscription portion of the business, but, you know, again, I don't feel comfortable sharing those numbers. Those are really just internal numbers for now, but I don't want to create, you know, expectations one way or the other. I think we'd rather focus on building this business and report good numbers to you, when they're actually happened. Because a lot of this business, it's new for us, and it's heavily correlated to the number of machines that we put in the market. But at the end of the day, we don't know about the sales until they actually happen, right? They're all credit card transactions that happen when the consumers are buying. So, you know, we have our own forecast, but at this point, they're still very, very speculative. And we're still trying to build that model right. So, you know, I'd prefer to keep those numbers closer to the vest. And as we go on and we really build out a solid formula for how this is working, then we can start sharing that with you guys. But I just don't want to mislead or give out any inaccurate information.
All right. Good luck. We'll hopefully keep seeing improvement in numbers that'll be made up in the next quarters.
Perfect. Well, thank you for the question, Sam.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Jason Hirschman, which is a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Got a few questions for you this morning. First, I think, Smith, you mentioned going from 1 foot to either 4 or 5 feet. Could you just clarify whether are those karaoke feet that you're adding, or in karaoke accessories, or there are also your toy line?
For Smith's is mostly karaoke. Although our UK distributor is bringing in our Singing Machine Kids line, we've already started shipping him some of the items. So I anticipate that the expansion at one point will also include some of the kids' item as well. In the U.S., we've had expansion at retail with the kids' line at Target. We've had expansion at Toys R Us, obviously online, and you know, so we've added space with the kids' line at some of those retailers.
Okay, very good. I was wondering, you also mentioned that Amazon, I think, was 44% up in dollar sales and 55% up in units. Is that just the fact that units are up higher than dollar sales in terms of just skewing cheaper in terms of the machines they're buying online? Or is it just in terms of just you're also selling accessories, which is bringing down the dollars?
Yes.
Maybe just give a little more color on that.
Yeah, that's a good question. A combination of both. We transitioned over our one of our highest ASP items this year. In our line, we transitioned it late last year to a new factory, which put a little bit of a delay in us getting inventory. That item usually retails at $199 and is one of the top SKUs at Amazon. So that being out of stock on that item for a couple of months at Amazon kind of put a dip in the dollars for us. And also the rise of accessories. You know, we've added a different coloration to the mics. You know, we've brought in pink coloration mics. You know, on the lighted mics, we now go three colors deep on that one as well. So it's a combination of being out of stock of one of the highest ASP items, the popularity of the accessories, and you know, our number one item is still a $59.99 SKU there. So those three things, you know, contribute to units up, but dollars not matching the same growth.
Great. Well, I appreciate that additional color. It really is very helpful. There's a couple more questions then. I think in the last conference call, you guys mentioned you were adding to some more either sales support or customer support personnel. I think maybe insourcing them. I wasn't exactly sure. And I presume that's part of the payroll increase. That's one, and hopefully that was going to increase the number of high reviews you get on Amazon, which are very important. I was wondering, hopefully you can comment a little bit more on that process, and whether you're seeing sort of just higher customer satisfaction and whether that's translating into maybe some of the additional sales that you're seeing on Amazon.
Yeah, I can jump in on that, and Bernardo, if you had any other thoughts, you can add on. But yeah, we've done a lot of work over the last probably 6 months in terms of insourcing our customer service support, and it's really made a dramatic impact in what our customers are saying about us and about the brand in general. I certainly welcome everyone on the call to check out our Facebook page, where a lot of customers are leaving some very positive words about the experience that they've had with Singing Machine and the brand and our support levels. And it's been good for us because a lot of our product is starting to become a little bit more tech savvy in terms of some of the support questions that they're asking. So for us to bring it in-house, and we have our own knowledge experts that really live and breathe our product every day, we definitely are seeing that we're able to give better support back to our customers, and I think that's going to have a snowball effect in terms of just word of mouth and, you know, friends telling family and other friends, hey, this is a great company, where they stand by their product. Another cool thing that we've done is we've opened up our own chat line. So if you go to our website, singingmachine.com, you can actually open up a chat window and chat, like instant message, directly with our agents right over the website. And that's been a very, very, once we enabled that in the first quarter, and already within the first few months, it's almost equaling the same volume in terms of phone calls that we're getting into our call center. So it's a very popular function that people appreciate. And I think it's just overall helping the brand and our position as the market leader.
Okay. Yeah, and I appreciate that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and on the sales side, I just want to let you know, we did hire a dedicated product development manager because we're trying to improve the product development cycle so that we could maybe bring products in. Normally, we have brought them in in the summer fall. We want to start focusing on bringing in more items in the spring summer, which will help us. With the sales, we've also brought in some additional support staff on the sales side as well to support the anticipated growth and the additional work that we have on our hands. So some of those G&A numbers also reflect that.
Okay, great. And final question for this morning. Maybe you can comment a little bit on whether you're seeing any positive effects or negative effects from foreign currency movements. You know, the euro is really strengthened against the dollar in recent months. You know, Canadian dollar is also strengthened a little bit. On the other hand, maybe the Chinese yuan is causing a different effect. I don't know whether this adds up to anything material, but maybe you can just comment a little bit on how the currency markets are maybe affecting you in this year.
Well, all of our business is done in U.S. dollars, so there really hasn't been any type of effect from currency exchange. We know what our dollar, because we're dealing in U.S. dollars everywhere. We're not feeling that pinch at all. Either way, and I shouldn't say either way. The fact that the renminbi has been good to us the last couple of years has helped us in negotiating price, our cost down on our products. That's been helpful. We have to wait and see now and see what's going to happen for the coming year, but our prices are already set in U.S. dollars for the year, so we won't have any effect in the current year's financials. We'll have to see what happens going forward.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for answering all my questions this morning.
Great. Thank you. We appreciate the questions.
Mm-hmm. And it appears we have no questions at this time.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning to discuss our first quarter earnings. Again, we remain very, very positive and optimistic about the outcome for the next few quarters. We look forward to chatting with all of you again for our second quarter earnings. So with that being said, thank you. Thank you again, everybody, for your time. And if you have any other questions that you'd like to ask management directly, you can feel free to reach out to Brendan Hopkins, and he can arrange a time for a private conversation. All right. Thank you, everybody.